May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. For me, the lessons today really showed all about how the need for human beings, for us, and God knows this, obviously, for tangible things, and all about our senses, our sight, our hearing, our smelling, our touching, our hearing. We know that for tangible things, we've got the sacraments, we've got the Bible. Most of all, we have Jesus. Can you imagine that this whole section of Acts? It amazes me, because Saul was a murderer of Christians. So it teaches us a very good lesson. We might think we know better than God, but God really and truly knows better than we. Even when we think, oh, that's got to be wrong. God, you've got to be wrong. You don't know what you're thinking or doing. Not. He does. And this teaches us that God knows our hearts, what's really in our hearts, even sometimes more than what we know ourselves. Because we've got Saul, who turns into Paul because God redeems him. A murderer breathing threats against the Christians. And Jesus decides to use him as a tool, an instrument. We learn this today. And so what happens? He's on his way to Damascus to round up Christians, to have them killed, probably in Colosseums, being eaten alive by lions or worse. And suddenly a flash comes and he falls down. So he touches. That's one way to get our attention. He falls off the horse and he fell down to the ground. But then he hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then he replies, "Well, who are you, Lord?" And then Jesus knew. Okay. He is listening. He says, "Well, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And Paul and Saul still continues to listen. So what happens? He ends up at a home on Straight Street, and Ananias gets a vision, he talks to the Lord in prayer. And God tells him, he says, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, at the house of Judas, and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul." And he says, "Right now, Saul is praying, and I'm giving him a vision, knowing he's going to be have Ananias lay his hands on him, and he will be baptized. He will receive his sight back, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." And Ananias is listening. You know, Paul is busy praying and fasting for the 3 days and not seeing anything. And Ananias says, "But Lord, haven't you heard about this guy? He's going around killing all your faithful disciples, your saints in Jerusalem." And he says, no, just go, because I'm going to use him as an instrument. Paul really loved God inside and out, enough in Paul's mind to even murder. Is that right? No. But Paul had to learn this, and he did. So Ananias was obedient, and he went to the house, and he laid hands on him, and Paul regained his sight. He received the Holy Spirit, and what a dramatic change. He just became one of the best disciples ever, prolific in writing. We learned so much from Paul. So Paul got a message from Jesus, the one that we learn about even today in the gospel. And this is another good story. It's such a good one. Here we've got the disciples. They had seen Jesus, but they didn't know quite what to do yet. And I can't wait to get there in heaven. I'm going to ask God to rewind whatever it is, because I'd like to see some of these things happening. And Peter and them, they're sitting there. And Peter decides, well, I don't know what to do. I'm going fishing. That's the normal, natural thing for Peter to turn to. Something he knew what to do. I'm going to go fishing. And they're like, okay, we'll go with you. They didn't know. And fishing at night was the best time. Well, it didn't work. They weren't getting any fish. So what happens next? Jesus is on the beach, and he yells out to them, you have no fish, do you? And they said, nope, we don't. And so Jesus says to them, he's guiding them, he's still teaching them and loving them just in an amazing way. He says, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some fish. So what happens? They're obedient. And in obedience comes abundance. And boy, did they get a lot of fish. So it happened. And then John, the disciple, I love this, whom Jesus loved, says to Peter, it's the Lord. And so in those days, the men just wore very few clothing, loincloths down. But Peter is jumping out of the boat to go greet the Lord. And greeting in those days was actually almost like a religious act. And so it was out of respect. So Peter gets dressed, jumps in, and heads towards the shore. This whole next section is one of my favorites. Remember what Peter did? Good Friday, or Monday, Thursday, the evening. What did he do? He denied Christ three times. And what was it by? A charcoal fire. And one of our senses, that if we smell something, it brings back memories, either good or bad. So what is Jesus trying to do? A couple of things. He wants to change Peter's memory and encourage him. Plus, he wants to let them know, I am not a figment of your imagination. No, I'm not a vision. No, I'm not a hallucination. I am flesh and blood. So I'm here on the beach and I am cooking you guys breakfast. Fish and bread. So there we go. When they had finished eating, Jesus says to Peter, son of John, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Because remember, Peter said that night, oh no, I love you the best. I will never, never, never deny you. And Peter says, yes, I love you. And Jesus said that, feed my lambs. A second time, Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Is it sinking in yet? You know that I love you. And Jesus says to him, well, tend my sheep. And here it comes the third time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter felt hurt. Because he said it to him three times. And he says, do you love me? So Simon Peter says, Lord, you know everything. You know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Simon had to hear himself even say, you know everything. So maybe it finally, and obviously it did, click in Peter's head. Oh yeah. Jesus does know everything. He does know that I love him. He's telling me what I'm supposed to do for him. And so all of the memories that he had were changed, and now he felt loved and forgiven, encouraged. And now he knows, okay, we don't have to go fishing for fish. We're going to start going fishing for men and women. We are going to do what Jesus asked. If we have a face-to-face with Jesus, if we meet him in prayer, if we know that we love him, if we have faith in him, we are going to change. Just like Paul, just like the disciples, just like Peter. It's a given. It has to happen. So when we pray, even if it's just for 5 seconds in the morning, saying, okay, God, I'm really not into praying, but I love you. Tell me what you want me to do while I get dressed, brush my teeth, drink my coffee, and go. That's a prayer because we've taken time out to ask God what he wants. And the more we do that, the more we're obedient, the more abundant our life will be. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you open our eyes so that we can see. Open our ears so that we can hear you. Encourage us, comfort us, heal us, and let us know that you love us just as much as Peter and Paul, and that we are to serve you with our love that we have for you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.